This is the Career Media Podcast, helping you grow your career through media. And welcome to another episode of the Career Spotlight Series, where we sit down with people who are basked in the glow of success in their career field and want to let the masses know how they did it. In this session, we will be covering the field of IT management. You are listening to Donnie Hassel, and I'm sitting with Paul Fisher, who is an IT manager at Astraea Partners. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
Hi, Donnie.
Now, from my understanding, Astraea Partners is a contracting company. They hire employees and managers to take charge of various technical companies such as Google, Twitter, Apple, Foursquare, among others. You're actually currently managing at Google NYC, correct?
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about the job. What's it like managing at Google?
So at Google, what we're responsible for is inventory and some other support areas like supporting meeting rooms and printer services.
What inventory do you handle?
We handle all computer-related inventory, so hardware, peripherals, monitors, keyboards, mice, things like that.
Is that for everyone at the office in NYC?
It's for the whole population of Googlers here in New York.
Wow. Do you give ballpark of how many people you handle?
It's just under 3,000 people at this point.
Wow. What's a typical day for you? You wake up in the morning, you come to Google, and what happens?
And then I never leave.
You never leave?
Typical day here is varied. It depends on what's going on. A lot of our work, because we're a service organization, is reactionary. So in general, we supply computers for people and support conference rooms, the technology that's in those conference rooms. But then whatever comes up, we have to react to. So every day is different.
Okay. What would you say is the biggest challenge that you face at that job?
I think the biggest challenge we have is because we're a service provider on-site at Google. Google is very good at wanting us to be part of their culture and their environment, but at the same time, we need to be conscious that we are a service provider on-site as a guest. And so we don't want to distinguish ourselves and segregate ourselves, but at the same time, we need to be conscious that we are working for a customer on-site. And so managing that tightrope can be challenging at times.
You're an Astraea manager, but not a Google manager. But who do you technically have to respond to? Do you have to respond to the Google higher-ups or your own higher-ups, or how does that work?
Well, that's a good question. I'm definitely beholden to many managers. Ultimately, at the end of the day, anybody who's a Googler is somebody that I'm accountable to because we're providing that service. There are some other service managers here in New York that are my direct stakeholders, and then, of course, I have my internal management at Astraea that I'm accountable to also. So many, many different powers that be I have to keep in mind when I'm making decisions.
Understandable. And who are you in charge of specifically? Do you have a team or?
Sure. So we have a team of 12 staff here in New York that cover the range of technologies and hardware that I mentioned we support. Computer hardware, conference rooms, a few other things related to that like printers and the technology that's in the conference rooms. So the team collectively is responsible for all those things that I manage.
And it's only the team that does this. Nothing hired by Google itself besides Astraea handles inventory?
That's right.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
They trust us with a lot.
I would imagine so. So did you have a lot of technical experience before landing this job?
Yes, I did. Most of my career has been in video conferencing technology, so I did direct support. I did some very technically related jobs within video conferencing and some room design, help desk, that kind of thing. And before that, I actually worked as a programmer, as a coder.
They don't ask you to code or anything at Google, do they?
No, they don't. They would never trust me with that.
Fair enough. I thought I'd ask. Does working at Google ever challenge your technical knowledge, what you do know, or even teach you something different that you don't know in the technical sense?
Sure. Well, I mean, I'll divide the answer into two areas. There's areas of interest and then areas of responsibility. So, you know, being a technical person, obviously working at Google has a cool, shiny factor to it because we're surrounded by people that are very technical and doing things that are either cutting edge or just very visible. And so that's interesting, and just being around the building every day, you get to absorb some of those things, you're aware of things that are going on. But then within my area of responsibility, what we do isn't overly technical other than some isolated areas of hardware, computer hardware support, and what we do in conference rooms, which happens to be what my background is in with the video conference technology that's there. So I'd say the only really challenging part about that is being in a building full of engineers Those are always the users that will find a way to really mess with stuff in a way that it's more difficult to discover what changes they've made and how to correct them.
What do they usually ask for, or what do they need in order to do their jobs? I would imagine Google employees, some of the top-tier programmers out there, require something out of the ordinary.
Well, we're strictly a hardware service, so we provide the computer hardware. Whatever applications or software they're using, we don't get heavily involved in that. We might be aware of what they're doing. We'll help them with things like putting more memory or more RAM in a computer. We generally don't load software, although they can be demanding on that front too. So Google definitely has a culture of providing whatever tools people think is necessary to do their jobs, which in ways empowers us. We get a lot of freedom to give things out, but at the same time, it empowers the people requesting this stuff to feel entitled so they can be demanding.
In general, what's the best career advice someone has ever told you before, obviously before getting this job, but along the way, you know, on your road to Google, pretty much, what advice have you received in the past that has helped you out?
I'd say the best single piece of advice in terms of general approach to working is always go to your manager or people around you with solutions and not problems. So I think it's a very common thing at the beginning of somebody's career to see the challenges in things and bring those to light without thinking it through, what are we going to do about it? And the best thing you can do for the people around you and the people that manage you is present the problem, you know, be somebody that discovers issues and brings them to light, but also brings them with suggested solutions.
And would that be the exact advice you would give to someone else who's looking for a real career, or, you know, someone who's trying to get their feet in a door, like maybe in a company like Google? What specifically would you tell those people who right now might not have any clues of what they want to do, but they kind of want to be where you're at, where you're looked upon and with a sense of responsibility with someone as revered as, you know, Google employees and managers?
Yeah, I would definitely give that as a you know, single piece of advice. No matter what somebody's doing, whether they're on a career track or doing something temporary, even if it's something that's not considered to be long-term, if you're perceived as a person who always has solutions and not only is proactive and finds problems, but packages those with suggested solutions, then you just be well-regarded. As far as where someone's going to be or what kind of jobs they should pursue, I think, you know, the standard advice everybody gives is do something you want to do. Find something you love. And if you do, not everybody's lucky enough to be in a role that is something they love to do. But if you are, everything else will fall into place. You will find solutions to things, and you will be proactive, and you'll be well-regarded. I think everything follows from liking what you do. Everything else becomes a positive experience.
Did you always like technology? Did you always like the IT field, or did you kind of just fall into it?
I always liked technology. I was always a tinkerer. I fell into it, I think, to some extent because my aptitudes were strong in math when I was growing up, so that just sort of dictated going to engineering school and following a certain track, which I think for lack of any other planning, I fell into that. But there was a desire to be in that area, and I'm definitely, you know, into technology and you know, gadgets and that kind of thing.
Someone who is also into technology that might feel that they want to be in a position like yours, how would they prepare for such a thing? In terms of maybe college education or maybe some technical certifications, or would you say they need connection, maybe an insider at Google to help them get them in? What would be the best way to prepare for something like this?
I think in general in a career, a good resource is a trade organization. So again, if we're starting from the premise of knowing what someone's passion is, which not everybody knows or knows right away, so that, you know, that there's a challenge just in determining that. But let's say that they know their passion, they're pursuing a certain area. Find out what trade organizations there are for that area. Join them. Go to meetings. Meet people. And that will open up a lot of doors in terms of what certifications you should have or what areas you should self-study in or companies that might be involved in that are worth pursuing, like Google. And if Google is your target, potentially making contacts within that company or whatever company it is to start to find out what opportunities you can, you know, you can make for yourself at specific companies.
That sounds like really, really good advice.
Thank you.
What's an accomplishment that you are most proud of? What's your biggest accomplishment in your life?
I'd say at this point, not to sound silly, but working at Google. So Google is a great place to work. If you have to go to work at all, Google's just about the best I've seen for somewhere to have to go. And, you know, a lot of being here was just sort of happenstance and timing, nothing that I had control over. But, you know, now that I'm here, I hope that I'm doing something to deserve it. And I think that's a big accomplishment because it's a great place to be.
Very cool. I can only imagine how it can be to work for a place like that. 10 years ago, you probably didn't see yourself as you are now, or maybe you did. But sometimes when we advance through our lives, we think about what we want to be 5 or 10 years later. You might know better than I how easily dreams and expectations can change in that amount of time. So, we know now that you're a successful IT manager in the present, but what did you see yourself as 10 years ago?
10 years ago, I was in a career supporting video conferencing, actually at M&M Mars, the chocolate company, which was also great. At the time, I thought that was the best place to work. Now I know that there's a better place. And video conferencing technology definitely includes all the things that I like to be around in terms of a career. So it's technology. It's also a newer technology. It's a sort of, you know, cutting edge, leading edge technology. It also involves some personal interaction. I enjoy the support aspect, training people how to use the technology, helping them make it work, helping it be a tool to make their day more effective and productive. So 10 years ago, I saw myself involved in video conferencing. Today, I'm not quite as involved as I thought it would be because it's one of the things that we support here at Google. You know, it's one of the list of technologies we support, plus the inventory management that I talked about. So I wouldn't have envisioned exactly this, but the fact that I'm still involved in video conferencing, I think that's something I saw happening.
So you're pretty much satisfied?
Right now, absolutely.
Okay. Would you say, I know you said that your biggest accomplishment is working at Google, but would you say that you're done? Would you say that in your life that you reached the pinnacle of what you want to do in life and you're pretty much set to, you know, where you are? Or is there something more that you want to do that would actually define success more for you personally?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm ready to go home now. No, so, of course, you know, I'm nowhere near being the end of my career. So definitely not done. Where to go from here is tough. You know, I love the job I have today. There's still a lot to do here. One of the reasons that it's a rewarding job is because there's still a lot of things to be accomplished, a lot of things that aren't complete yet in terms of the service we deliver here at Google and that kind of thing. So the short-term answer is continue on what I'm doing right now with this current role. And then beyond that, the truth is I don't know. I think that it's there are too many variables. When people talk about what they have a plan for 10 years down the road or even 5 years, good for them. I hope they're right, but I think that things change too much to have that kind of a specific plan in place.
I know we touched upon like what would make success within this field. What is it that makes you successful? Another way to ask this question is, if you would give a definition for success personally, if you were writing a dictionary, what definition would you give success and why?
So to define success, I think that's a very personal thing. I think for everybody, it's different. And it really does go back to what I'm saying about doing what you like to do. I think it's rare that people have careers in areas that they love. Most people go to work as a chore to get a paycheck. Unfortunately, that's a reality. So if you can be building a career in an area that you love to be involved in my opinion, that's success. How well you do at it and whether there's a dollar figure associated with that or a title for your job, I think are all secondary to just, you know, wanting to go to work. There's a big difference between waking up in the morning and thinking of all the things that you want to accomplish versus thinking about where the snooze bar is. So in and of itself, that, in my opinion, is success. Other than that, it depends. Everybody's motivated by different things. People are motivated by having a big enough paycheck for big toys. Some people are motivated purely by a title so that they can have some kind of an ego boost when they name their job. Other people are motivated by other things. So again, it's, you know, it depends on the person what success is.
Thank you, Paul. And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is Paul Fisher from Astraea Partners and Google NYC, giving us the inside scoop with success in the field of IT management. You have been listening to Donnie Hassel. Please visit us next time for more interviews, tips, tricks, and great advice for more interesting fields. This is the Career Media Podcast. Thank you for listening.